Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Band East Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we have two members of our executive team at the hospital, CEO Lisa Ridge and CFO Ashley Allers, here to share the state of the hospital with an overview of the services available, the funding and reimbursement necessary to offer these services, and how you too can support your community hospital and keep quality health care available and accessible for years to come. Before we start into our program, I have an exciting announcement to share. You will want to save the date and mark your calendars for this year's Community Easter Egg Hunt. It will take place Saturday, March 28th at 10 o'clock a.m. sharp. We will be back at Band East Medical Center this year. All ages are welcome. We have hunts for three different age groups and a sensory-friendly and adaptive hunt available for kids and young adults with disabilities. We will have live animals with Highland cows, bunnies, chicks, kittens, and lambs, photos with the Easter Bunny and Tedwin, our certified therapy dog. There will be face painting, balloon Easter ears. There will be a color run that will start at 10:30 for all ages to join us. And for the parents and grandparents, don't worry, we thought of you too. Travelin' Tom's coffee truck and Beverly Ann's cookie truck will be on site. Items will be available for purchase. This great event is being brought to you by Band East Medical Center Foundation, Trinity Lutheran Church, and Wilson Brewer Park Foundation Board, along with several sponsors from throughout our community, and we're very appreciative of the support. Again, you'll hear more about this fantastic event. Mark your calendars and plan to join us Saturday, March 28th. And with that, we have a lot to cover, so we are going to get started into our program. As I mentioned, I'm very pleased to have Hospital Chief Executive Officer Lisa Ridge and Chief Financial Officer Ashley Allers joining us on today's program to share an overview of Band East Medical Center with our listeners. Welcome and good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you for having us. Ashley and I are excited to be here to share the state of the hospital with the community.
Very good. And I thank you both for joining me on this program. I'm going to have you start with just sharing a little bit about yourself with our listeners.
Sure. So I am a nurse by background. I've been a nurse for 36 years. I did come to Band East Medical Center in 2016 as the chief nursing officer, and in 2017, I became the chief executive officer. So I have been with Band East Medical Center. This is my 10th year, and it has been a very exciting and ever-changing time frame. So I'm glad to be able to share some of the changes of the hospital with you today.
Very good. Thank you, Lisa. How about you, Ashley?
Yeah, so I came to Band East Medical Center in 2012 and have held various roles over that time, from billing to compliance, privacy, our records department, but most recently have been in the CFO role for the last 4 years.
Very good. Thank you. As I shared, both Lisa and Ashley are members of our executive team and our administrative team currently leading the hospital. I, too, share as a member of this six-person team. Lisa, if you would maybe share a little information about the other members of our administrative team.
I'd love to. Band East Medical Center is led by a six-woman administrative team with a combined total of more than 145 years experience in their respective fields. Recently, VDMC received a top workplace award as a woman-led organization. Those on the administrative team, beyond myself and Ashley, are Amy McDonough, our chief nursing officer. Amy has been a nurse for over 25 years and has been with VDMC for 8 years. Amy Porter is our HR director, and she's been in the HR field for 20 plus years and has been at VDMC for 6 years. And Vicki Wickham is our current Senior Information Systems Director. She does have a retirement date coming up in April of 2026, so succession planning is in full swing, and we do wish Vicki a very happy and traveling retirement. She's looking forward to it.
Yes, we do, and very impressive to share the background, the years of service from our administrative team, and we were very proud to also receive the award for our woman-led organization.
It was exciting, for sure.
Similarly, our hospital is governed by a 7-person board of trustees. Lisa, let's also acknowledge this dedicated group of individuals, sharing a little bit about the role of the board.
Sure. The hospital is governed, like you said, by a 7-member board of trustees. These individuals are elected by the public for 4-year staggered terms. Our current board members include Darcy Swan, Kirk McCullough, Carol Osi, David Everson, Doug Bailey, Michelle Zahn, and Kyle Heffernan, with 100% of our Board of Trustees certified through the Iowa Hospital Association, our hospital demonstrates a strong commitment to leadership and accountability. Our trustees stay informed on the pressing and current healthcare topics of today while formally committing to good governance practices. We are so blessed to work with such dedicated community members.
Yes, and we do appreciate the service and the time and commitment from all of our board members.
They're all wonderful to work with.
And it is a diverse group, which is what you want in your board of trustees.
Yes, it's very diverse. Carol Osi is our longest standing board of trustees with many, many years. And then we have some newer trustees. So it's a very nice, well-balanced board of trustees currently.
Absolutely. So a key component of critical access hospitals like Vandy's Medical Center is to ensure accessibility to essential quality health care, including emergency services, is available in rural areas, reducing the need for people to travel for health care services. Lisa, what are the different services offered at our hospital? And then maybe talk about the services offered within our clinic network, if you would.
Absolutely. They're very long, Lori. We have added services over the years to continually listen to our providers and our patients on what they need. So currently, Vandy's Medical Center offers traditional hospital services, both inpatient and skilled nursing care. We have an emergency department staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with both physicians and advanced practice practitioners, with support available through telehealth technology, offering a second set of eyes and ears from board-certified emergency room physicians. They can collaborate with the team in emergency situations as much or as little as needed. We have our own paramedic-level ambulance service, which serves Webster City and surrounding areas, supported by some very talented paramedics and EMT. Our hospital offers rehabilitation services, cardiac and pulmonary rehab, respiratory and sleep services, radiology, and lab. Our surgery services are provided by a team of 3 visiting general surgeons who are regularly visiting each week. We have an infusion center within our hospital. We offer chemotherapy, IV therapy, antibody therapy, in addition to things like injections or blood transfusions. Senior Life Solutions is an intensive outpatient group counseling program designed to meet the unique needs of adults over the age of 65 that may be struggling with things like depression or anxiety or changing of their environment. Within our clinic network, we offer family practice and pediatrics, women's health. We have a wonderful shared OB services program that's coordinated with 3 OB physicians from a neighboring county hospital. We also offer gerontology, podiatry, behavioral health, and diabetic education services.
Excellent. A long list of services there. I'm sure our listeners are just trying to take all of that in. But a big part of our radio shows is creating awareness about the services that are available. So I appreciate you sharing a comprehensive list. Now, talking about our clinic network, we have clinics here in Webster City with satellite clinics in Jewell, Stratford, and Fort Dodge. What information would you like to share about our clinics?
Thank you, Lori. Our clinics, I'll start with Jewell. In Jewell, we have a full-time physician assistant, Tanya Oden. In Stratford, we provide care by Lee Carlson, a nurse practitioner on Tuesdays, and Julie Trout, a psychiatric nurse practitioner who sees patients in Stratford. In our Webster City clinic, we have doctors Sahai, Ean, Dewey, and Allred, nurse practitioners Jess Kreckenberg and Jade Williams, and our physician assistant Darren Eklund. Last fall, we officially opened the Fort Dodge Van Deese Family Health Clinic in a newly renovated location on 2nd Avenue North, where Drs. Burkett, Nguyen, and nurse practitioner Tricia Woodland currently practice. Dr. Adam Swisher and physician assistant Joe Harris recently joined the practice and are now seeing patients. A very important thing to note about the satellite clinics is they are feeders to our hospital, in particular, the Fort Dodge Clinic. It is a very busy, robust clinic, and the revenue generated in that clinic comes back to Hamilton County in the way of additional services. For example, a patient may need to have physical therapy, outpatient testing, need to see a specialist. They are always offered our facility in Webster City, here in Hamilton County. Also, you would be surprised by the number of residents in and around Fort Dodge who choose to drive to Webster City to be seen in emergency department and be admitted to our hospital because of the excellent care that we give. Our behavioral team does offer both in-person and virtual appointments, helping ensure that patients can access care in the way that works best for them. The behavioral health team includes psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners Julie Trout and Mary Claire Lopez, along with licensed mental health counselor Sam Snovel. Together, they provide compassionate professional support for patients across our service areas.
And those are much needed services, without a doubt. You touched upon the fact that we do have patients, residents that travel from Fort Dodge and surrounding communities to seek care in our emergency room. We do have a 24-hour emergency department. It is a critical piece of the services that are offered and available from and through a critical access hospital like ours. What would you share about our emergency and EMS or ambulance services with our listeners?
It's such an important service when there's an emergency or a health condition that requires immediate attention. Our paramedics and EMT are quickly there to respond to the needs. We operate a full-service emergency department with ambulance services available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our emergency and EMS teams provide critical coverage, not only for our community, but also surrounding other communities in the county and beyond. We always ensure they receive timely and life-saving care when it's needed.
Thank you, Lisa. How about our visiting specialists who provide care at our hospital?
Yeah, we've really increased that over the last several years, so I'm glad to share all of them with you. VDMC offers a variety of specialists, and all of the specialists allow our patients to stay close to home and get high-quality specialized care. First, our general surgeons. Services are provided by Drs. Timothy Mayfield and Dr. Bacom and Casey Joe, who perform procedures including colonoscopies and other diagnostic scopes. They also offer a wide variety of general surgery needs. We also offer pediatric dental surgery through Drs. Nick Bernard and Hillary Reynolds, It's a very unique and important service for our rural hospital that helps reduce the need for families to travel long distance for the care of these little ones. Our newest visiting specialist is Dr. Rudna Putna, an oncologist and hematology physician with McFarland Clinic. He sees patients in our specialty clinic on the fourth Thursday morning of each month. He's been a great addition. Ophthalmology services are provided by Dr. Steven Anderson with the Wolf Eye Clinic, and we do offer cataract surgeries here locally. Our pain management clinic and our ketamine clinic help individuals manage chronic pain, improve quality of life, and navigate complex care needs with confidence. Both of those clinics see patients weekly. In partnership with Mercy One Iowa Heart Center, a statewide leader of cardiology services, our hospital now offers a full-time cardiology clinic with a range of cardiac services provided by a rotating team of cardiologists and advanced level practitioners. And I'm so excited to share our last specialist that joins us is Dr. Somacetti. Dr. Somacetti is a general orthopedic surgeon that's been practicing over 25 years in his respective fields here in the state of Iowa. He joined us in January, and he does a variety of orthopedic surgeries and scopes, including the shoulder, the hand, the hip, and the knee. He can also do total knee replacements and total hip replacements. He has a great bedside manner. Is here on site full time and has already had some very successful surgeries. We're so blessed to have him join our team here at Van Deese Medical Center.
We are thrilled, and Dr. Somacetti has been on the program and has shared with listeners that the difference is this is the first time we have had a dedicated full-time orthopedic surgeon on staff at our hospital. And so it is a huge asset and benefit, not only to our hospital, but to the residents here in Hamilton County and beyond. Just a terrific addition again to our team.
He really is. He has such a great bedside manner, spends time with the patients, explains things, uses pictures. He's just been so wonderful to get to know and to have here serving the communities.
Definitely. Lisa, I want to thank you for the wonderful overview of our hospital and its services. Now I'm going to shift things and turn to you, Ashley. The financial health of rural hospitals has been an ongoing concern for years. Although this is a very cumbersome and complicated topic, which really could be a radio program all of its own, or a series of programs, honestly. Let's make sure we do take some time to talk about the funding and reimbursement for critical access hospitals like Van Deese Medical Center. What does that look like?
Well, thank you, Lori. Really, you're correct. This is a very cumbersome topic, and it could go on for days, really. But critical access hospitals like Van Deese Medical Center rely on a combination of different funding. First and foremost, we have Medicare reimbursement, which is actually cost-based, and it offsets lower patient volumes than a large city facility might. Medicare is actually reimbursed at 101% of our allowable costs, but there is a 2% what they call sequestration or cut across the top. So really, at all times, we're only receiving 99% of our cost. So we have to make it back somewhere, right? Medicare and Medicare Advantage together make up 54.4% of our total volume at Van Deese Medical Center. We also have Medicaid reimbursement, which is especially vital in rural areas where a higher percentage of residents rely on the Medicaid or CHIP program. Cuts to Medicaid pose significant threats to rural hospitals such as our own. Medicaid makes up 12.4% of our volume, but it is likely to drop as legislation that is now out is going to shift more to an uninsured population, as it will be harder to receive Medicaid benefits. We also rely on grants and other improvement initiatives that support financial sustainability of operations and quality improvement. We actually did recently in the last year replace our MRI machine, and we were able to use up some of our last USDA grants that stemmed from the COVID era, so to speak, to finish up that project. I would say probably one of the biggest things that we see and feel in our community hospital is our community support. Whether it's through our foundation donations, the auxiliary, through our gift shop, all of those proceeds come back to the hospital through our gift shop. So plug in there. We have a great gift shop. Or even our tax levy. Many hospitals rely on the generosity of foundation support to help enhance the care that they provide. While we've been blessed with a few larger gifts for major projects, such as our hospital, clinic, and infusion center, our foundation overall has not historically received the same level of ongoing philanthropic donations that many other hospitals do. Even so, every contribution we receive truly makes a difference. We're continuing to build our foundation for the future, and we're grateful for the community support that has helped us keep us moving forward.
For sure, and that support is very much appreciated. You gave a nice overview of the funding and reimbursement, especially for a critical access hospital. And a couple of things that really stuck out that I want to take a moment to just make sure that our listeners are capturing that. Between Medicare and Medicare Advantage and Medicaid, we're talking about 66% of our total volume with those insurances. And so right there, that should tell you that is a difference than what hospitals in the city might experience with their volume of patients. That's very much unique to rural areas.
Absolutely, yes. And you might ask, what makes up the rest of that percentage? Obviously, commercial insurance, employer insurance, and then you have your uninsured population. And unfortunately, that population is growing, and we have programs such as our financial assistance program that we can help use to offset that. But oftentimes, if they don't apply for financial assistance, or maybe don't even qualify because, you know, there's only limit or there are limitations on financial assistance and what qualifies. But often that becomes bad debt, and you see that growing, and we have started seeing that number grow over the last couple years.
Unfortunately, that is the case. Well, reinvestment is a huge part. So reinvesting in our infrastructure is key to ensuring accessibility to quality health care remains available to residents of Hamilton County and surrounding communities for years to come. What's really hard to believe is that our current building, is nearing 16 years old already, which you wouldn't realize. When you are in the hospital, it seems like a newer facility than that. Maybe if you would give us some examples of the projects and reinvestment that we're talking about that has happened maybe in the past few years, and then what we anticipate on the horizon in the next 1 to 3 years.
Absolutely. So it is incredibly just crazy to think about the hospital 16 years old, right? So we are starting to see some cost involved in upkeep of our infrastructure. But let's start first. We've talked a lot about our EMS and our emergency services program. So in the past about 3 years, we've actually purchased 2 new ambulances as part of an ongoing rotation schedule. This is because our ambulances log so many thousands of miles in not only our county, but taking patients to and from other larger hospitals during traumas and emergencies that require them to go to a larger or higher level facility. And just the regular wear and tear they receive. You know, we're in Iowa, this is winter right now. There's a lot more wear and tear on those ambulances than you think, especially when you're driving speeds that most aren't driving in the winter, you know. Right. We've got to get there. Beyond that, the building, 16 years old, over the last few years, we've seen significant expense with some of that infrastructure. soon in the near future, we're going to need to start a staged roof replacement. That entire project, as of 2 years ago, was priced at $2.2 million. So you add some inflation to that, and you can about imagine how much higher that probably is today. As I mentioned earlier, we finished a $1 million MRI project in July. So that was a significant expense. And this year alone, we have already invested $75,000 in our steam generators. And a $55,000 in a new dishwasher. You know, it's one of the things you don't think about. You know, at home, a dishwasher is not so much. You come and get in the commercial space and $55,000 later. We also recently have completed or are very near completion of a full light transition. We're moving all of our lighting where possible to LEDs. So while we're not saving dollars because of the cost of electricity going up, we have saved ourselves from seeing that escalate even higher. In the next, 1 to 3 years, we have a CT scanner that needs to be updated, which helps us maintain our level 4 trauma status, especially with strokes. That's projected at over $1 million. We need to replace our mammography equipment. That's over $600,000. We have OR lights, which need to be replaced, another $400,000. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with the upcoming expenses.
So that's just to give listeners a little bit of the perspective of what we're talking about when we're looking at purchasing new and updated equipment and making reinvestment back into our infrastructure.
Absolutely. One of the things I haven't mentioned yet is we actually have some master facility planning going on. We started this probably 2 years ago. We paused it a little bit because we added our Iowa Heart Clinic. We have completed our Fort Dodge remodel and move. So we're starting that back up, and we know there are several areas where we have at this point outgrown or need remodeled because maybe they just don't work as well as they need to. So we need to get some areas revamped and better for being able to take care of our patients.
Definitely, for better efficiency, just so that we can maximize our footprint that we currently have. And then obviously, in order to grow, we need to be going back and taking a look at that master facility plan and what does that look like going forward. Well, this definitely speaks to the importance of cash reserves and community support, like you talked about. Ashley, let's talk more specifically in detail about what we mean by community support and why it's so critical to rural community hospitals.
So community partnerships, they can only improve the hospital success and aligning our hospital services with our community's needs. There's been local engagement that has shown to directly improve hospital success when addressing local social needs like transportation, food security, and housing. Also, public advocacy and utilization sustain rural hospitals. There's an ongoing need for community advocacy to support and sustain rural health care. So this is where tax levies really become important for county critical access hospitals. They help offset reductions in federal programs such as Medicare and Medicaid. As I said earlier, there's a 2% across-the-board cut on top of that Medicaid or Medicare cost. It helps offset rising costs of the risk and liability or malpractice insurance, which we've seen 18% cost increases over the last several years each year. It helps fund the ambulance and emergency preparedness. That's a huge part of our tax levy, is to help fund that 24/7 emergency response of our EMTs and paramedics. Without this local support, we would face, similar to any critical access hospital, the same risk of closure that's affected over 150 rural hospitals nationwide since just 2010.
Which is scary to hear.
It is scary. We talk about our building being 16 years old, and that's only in the last 16 years that there have been that many closures. So,
Ashley, thank you. I appreciate you sharing the information, especially when it comes to the tax levy and why it's needed, why we need it as a critical access hospital. Many people don't realize what goes into that and how it supports our hospital and the services that we're able to provide.
Yeah. So one last thing I want to say, you know, about our levy, it's investing in not only emergency care, but health access, community safety, local employment, long-term economic resilience. And one of the things I really like to say, you know, a healthy hospital means a healthy community. And that's really important for us. We're in the business of healthcare. We want to take care of our community.
Lisa, Ashley, I want to thank you both for being on the program today, and thank you for your leadership. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.